Chris Bell is a weather forecaster and a director at WeatherQuest. He provides specialist forecasts to meet the needs of their large businesses, such as the cargo ports across the UK. I went to meet him to find out more. Hello, everybody. Today I'm at the University of East Anglia, the UEA, which is on the Norwich Research Park. And I'm here with Chris Bell. And Chris is a weather forecaster at WeatherQuest. Thank you very much for speaking to us today, Chris. You may be familiar with Chris, as he sometimes does weather forecasts at the BBC and ITV. Chris, what is your role in WeatherQuest?
So I'm one of the directors of the company. I joined WeatherQuest back in 2005 as a weather forecaster, a sort of junior weather forecaster. And over the last 15 years, I've worked my way up through the company, and now I'm one of the directors. And my official title is the Chief Communications Officer at WeatherQuest, which mostly deals with our forward-facing, speaking to our clients and our customers about how we can provide services that will help them save time and money and be safer in what they do.
Okay, thank you. And every day I listen out for the local forecast, but what sort of forecast does WeatherQuest provide for its clients? Who are their clients?
Yeah, so the average person, you know, is usually thinking about whether they need to take a raincoat with them or an umbrella or perhaps whether you can put your washing on the line during the afternoon, that sort of thing. But if you're a farmer, or you're running a port or a big wind farm offshore, you need some very specialist forecasts. So you need to be able to know exactly when the risk of lightning is going to be. You need to know exactly when that risk of rain may be. So if you're a farmer who's going out to spray the field with fertilizer or some sort of chemical that will help keep pests away, that chemical can be very expensive. And if it rain pops up over his field during the afternoon and washes all of that off, then that can cost them a lot of money. So they need to be able to manage their risk by knowing what times of the day is, you know, are best to do the spraying, and wind speed as well. So they're not allowed to spray this chemical if the winds are above a certain threshold. And so they need to kind of be able to know, you know, through the day, what hour or two window they might be best to do this. So it's that sort of thing. It's we're adding value to the normal forecast that you would see on a mobile phone app and giving more specialist forecasts.
You mentioned ports. Do you deal with many ports?
Yeah, so one of the main business sectors that we deal with at WeatherQuest is the port industry. And so we provide the weather forecast services for the Port of Felixstowe, for London Gateway, and for Tilbury, and now as well ABP Humber, which is a big port on the Humber estuary, so at Hull. So we're doing a lot of work with ports, and it's a big supply chain. So think about the fact that you've got these massive ships coming from all over the world. They're coming into port. They're having to unload or load these big lorry containers on the back of the ships, and then move off. And then you've got all the from inland. You've got all the lorries themselves that are driving to the ports to unload or pick up the stuff that's coming from the ship. So if you have a 6-hour window, even where the winds are too strong for the cranes to operate, or there's a risk of lightning, or there's thick fog, those sorts of things can delay operations at a port, and it can cause a big backup basically on both sides, both ships coming in and lorries coming to pick up the goods from the port themselves.
It must be a really big portfolio.
Yeah, so basically, you know, for the types of questions they're asking, you know, they're wanting you to give them assurance that they can get their work done, you know, in a certain time and do it safely. So that, you know, the main thing that we do, you know, the front and foremost thing that we do is provide a extra layer of health and safety for people like ports and people that are working on wind farms offshore. Keeping the people safe is the main thing they want to do. And then sort of second to that is being able to optimize how they do what they do. So for a wind farm, it's a little bit different. You're not only forecasting the potential for adverse weather, but obviously if you're doing a maintenance program on an offshore wind farm, so you've got all these wind turbines off the coast, they're spinning away nicely and they're producing lots of electricity. If it's a nice day and it's a nice breezy day, you don't want to go out there and stop those wind blades from turning, because then you start to lose the electricity that they're producing. So it's thinking about the good weather days and the bad weather days when you're working for someone like a wind farm.
Naturally, forecasts won't be 100%. So how do you deal with that?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting when you're training a new weather forecaster who's coming into to WeatherQuest or the Met Office or any other private weather company that's out there. One of the things that happens is that you don't tend to hear too much from your clients on days when the forecast is pretty certain. So if there's a big area of high pressure and it's going to be sunny the next 4 or 5 days, you'll look at your weather app, you'll watch the TV, you'll get your official weather forecast from your provider. They're all going to say the same thing. It's dry and sunny and everybody's confident and that sort of thing. On the other side, if it's very wet and windy, if you're in a spell in the winter where the jet stream is very active and you've got lots of fronts coming through and it's going to be unsettled, wet and windy, people are quite happy with that as well. So really the times where you hear from your customers are those tricky periods, like you just mentioned, when you look at your, you might look at two different apps on your phone, or you might watch the TV, the BBC one night and they're saying something, ITV saying something else. That's when the customer wants to talk to you. And it's about explaining the uncertainty and how confident you are in the forecast. And so we call that probabilistic forecast, where we're able to issue a probability of something happening. And then there's another forecasting technique that's known as ensemble forecasting. And ensemble forecasting takes lots of different computer models. So maybe 50 different computer models, and it averages them all together to give you an idea of what the weather is going to do. And the more input you get from that, the more confidence you can have in the forecast that you're issuing.
When you present a forecast on television, what is the sort of routine that you go through?
Forecasting on the television is probably one of my least favorite parts of my job, because... So what happens is you if you're on TV doing the weather forecast, you've got a very specific amount of time. So you'll go in on a given day and, the sort of standard allocated time for the weather forecast is about 2.5 minutes. And so depending on what's going on else in the news program that day, it might get shifted around. You might get a little bit more time or a little bit less time. But either way, you've got around 2.5 minutes. To go through and talk about the forecast from, now through to, 3 or 4 days in advance. And if you think about the amount of time 2.5 minutes is, it's actually not that long. And especially for someone like me who likes to talk, that time flies by and you realize that you might not have the time that you wish you had to get into the detail of the forecast. So if you're behind the scenes and you're speaking to a customer on the phone, then you can take the time to tell them what you need to tell them. And, the news is a bit more constrained in that way.
Can you tell me about your background in weather forecasting? I think it started at an early age.
Yeah, it did. So I've loved the weather since before I can remember. And actually in primary school, I can remember telling my teachers that I wanted to be a weatherman when I grew up. It's all I've ever wanted to be. I actually, you'll probably recognize with the accent, I'm not from around here. So I grew up near the coast of Texas, the Gulf Coast, the Gulf of Mexico, right on the border of Texas and Louisiana. Not the nearest big city is Houston, and it was about an hour and a half drive from where I grew up. But in the summertime there, it's very hot and humid. And so in the afternoon, you'll get the clouds bubbling up and you'll get thunderstorms that develop. And so as a kid, I was fascinated by that. I used to watch these things developing out the window. And you know, I can even vividly remember watching one where lightning struck a tree across the street from my parents' house and it blew all the bark off of the tree. And I immediately wanted to run out to it.
I read somewhere that you, as a child, presented the forecasts in your school.
That's right, yeah. So I even did that from an early age when I was in primary school. We had a little tannoy system where they would, you know, go through and give messages to the school from the office. And they used to let me go in the office and get on there and tell a weather forecast even in primary school. Mm-hmm. So all my friends and everybody at school knew that I was kind of a weather geek from a very early age. And when I got older, I actually started going out storm chasing in the Great Plains of the U.S. as well, looking at some of the biggest thunderstorms on Earth, which happen in Oklahoma and Kansas and into Nebraska.
It sounds very dangerous.
Yeah, it's actually probably not as dangerous as you would think if you know what you're doing. So the most dangerous aspect of storm chasing is probably the amount of driving that you do. So the typical tornado season in the United States is in the months of April, May, and June. And during that period, you get these massive thunderstorms that are known as supercell thunderstorms, and they produce very large hail, strong winds, and occasionally tornadoes. But they tend to move in a pretty predictable pattern most of the time. And so if you know where you are relative to the storm, you can stay pretty safe. So my fears are when I do that, the things I worry the most about is the fact that sometimes you're driving from southern Oklahoma to southern Nebraska in one day, and that's, you know, that can be almost 1,000 miles in the car, and you know, after days of doing that, you're getting tired, and so you need to be out with a group of people so you can rotate the driving around. But really the thing I get most worried about is lightning strikes, because I can see a tornado, I can see the thunderstorm developing, but lightning obviously can occur around the thunderstorm, and you never can quite predict where lightning strikes going to come down. So lightning and driving are the two most dangerous parts of storm chasing.
I wouldn't have thought so, really. You've mentioned your accent. Can you tell me how you got to
how I ended up over here?
That's
right. So when I was at university, I was studying more sort of climatology in Louisiana at the university that I went to, Louisiana State University. And I got offered to do a year to study abroad at the University of East Anglia here in Norwich. And so I took that opportunity, came over here for a year of my studies, met an English girl. I did manage to talk her to coming back to the States, and we actually finished our university degrees in America, in Mississippi. And that's where I got the meteorology master's degree from. When it got time to kind of settle down and think about looking for jobs and starting a family, we decided to move back to the UK. That's where she wanted to be to raise kids. So we came back to Norwich because that's where we met, and we knew that UEA had some opportunities. Another thing that I do is I do some teaching at UEA as well. So along with doing my weather forecasting role at WeatherQuest, I'm also a lecturer at the University of East Anglia as well, teaching meteorology to the undergraduate students.
That's great. Thank you very much. It's been a really fascinating time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and hopefully I'll speak to you again at some point.
Thank you.
I was speaking to Chris Bell from WeatherQuest. Chris often gives talks about the weather to groups in our area. You can get in touch with Chris. His email address is chris.bell@weatherquest.org. www.weatherforecast.co.uk. And the website is www.weatherquest.co.uk.